If you decided to listen to this week's message of Doxodeo Figuard Park, we know that Jesus has placed something on your heart. So let's dive in.
I want to ask you this question. Have you ever had trouble believing something? By show of hands, anyone had trouble believing something? So here's the thing. I believed random things as a kid, right? So the first thing I believed that the sun moves around us. I think most kids, as you grow up, you thought that, just me? Was I the only one? Was I the only kid looking like full force with both eyes wide open towards the sun? Was I the only one? Makes my bad eyesight a reality. Maybe you believed this as a kid. Did you believe that if you eat watermelon seeds, they will grow in your stomach? I believe that still today. That's why I look the way I look. It's got to be a watermelon. It's no other option. Maybe as you grew up, you saw your parents' photos when they were young, right? And you thought to yourself, yo, shame, my parents didn't have color back in their days. They just grew up in black and white, right? Just me? I thought that? Anyone else thought that? Just put up your hand and let I don't look bad, thank you. Maybe you were like me and you thought that white milk comes from white cows and chocolate milk comes from brown cows. Pink milk, I don't know where that came from. From a bunny. And here's the crazy thing about it is that we believe so many different things because sometimes we're naive, sometimes we don't know until someone comes and gives us this word, the truth. Right? And then the truth kind of realigns the way we think and it sets us free. And I ask the question, when we think about Christianity, when we think about God, when we think about Jesus going to die on a cross, being risen out of the grave, what do we believe? Because if we understand that there's a truth being put down for us, it'll set us free. It'll set us free. Did you know that in church, millennials, any millennials in the house? Yeah, sounds about right. Bunch of passive losers. I'm joking. I'm one. I'm a millennial, right? So millennials, here's the thing. Millennials struggle with believing in Jesus. If you didn't know this, our struggle is that we don't have much care for the afterlife. Because of this, we've been growing up in this thing of living in the moment or making the most of the present life. That we're like, you know what, one day when I get there, I'll get there. And that's been the one of the main struggles of millennials. Studies show that Gen Zs, any Gen Zs? You guys are on the fleek. I'm joking. I don't know. I don't know what hip to it's not lit. That's not a thing there. You know, anyway, it still is. It's lit, you know. But Gen Zs, it's not the problem that sometimes we don't believe in God. It's just you're asking the question, what does that mean for me right now? I mean, if it means that I just go to heaven one day, then I'll deal with it. But I want to know what does it mean for me here right now. I want to experience it right now. I want to see it right now. And Gen Zs are hungry for the experience. So when it comes to Easter, this like thing that is celebrated throughout the year, or not throughout the year, once a year, throughout the world, by sometimes, you know, every week going Christians or CEO Christians. You guys know CEO Christians, right? Christians that come on Christmas, Easter, and other occasions. I see, if you're a CEO Christian, I see you got the suit and tie, you're ready to rock and roll. But why do we celebrate Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection? Why is this the core of who we are? Because if this is the core of who we are, it changes everything about who we are. It changes our entire life. And today we're going to speak about this, that his death equals my life. His death equals my life. Just turn to someone next to you and say, his death equals my life. And you'd ask that question, you know, if his death equals my life, what does that mean for me right now? So we're going to go into a piece of scripture. We're going to go into Romans 5. Take out your Bibles. If you don't have your Bible here, we'll pray for you. We'll get you one. If you don't have a notebook, just engrave it on someone's arm next to you. Whatever you need to do to memorize this moment, please do that. But we're going to be reading through Romans 5 from verse 6. And it's a big chunk of scripture, so excuse my reading. And after that, we're going to literally dive into this piece of scripture tonight. So it says this, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for all the ungodly. For God proves his love for us. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, through death, death through sin, in the same way death spread to all people because all sinned. In fact, sin was in the world before the law. But sin did not charge against anyone's account because there was no law, when there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam's transgression. He is a type of the coming one. And then it goes on to say, but this gift is not like the trespass. For by one man's trespasses, many died. How much more by the grace of God, the gift which comes through the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, will overflow to many. And the gift is not like one man's sin. Because of one man's sin came to judgment, resulting in condemnation. But for many trespasses, it came to the gift, resulting in justification. If by one man's trespass death reigned throughout the world, or throughout that one man, how much more those who receive the flow of grace, the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. You see, Paul's getting a little pattern here. Do you guys see it? He says, even as through one man or one trespass there is condemnation for everyone, so through one righteous act there is justification leading to life for everyone. For just through one man's disobedience, these many were made sinners. So also through one man's obedience, we are all made righteous. And then it ends with this lovely little quote. It says, the law came to multiply the trespasses. The law showed us what we were doing wrong. And then it goes on to say, but sin multiplied. Where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more. Isn't this a good piece of scripture? So let's dive into this and let's see what God is saying, what Paul is writing about when he says this new life, this dead life, this dead trespass, and this new life. You see, the problem is this, it's sin. The problem is sin, and now you're like, oh, I came to the church sermon where they're going to preach about sin and shout repent and all that stuff. I'm not. But we cannot turn a blind eye to sin because sin is one of those things that separate us from our relationship with God. Paul writes it in the beginning of that piece that we read. And he says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, death through sin came. So as sin entered the world through Adam, now sin's a part of the world which leads to death. And that spread to not some people, not just a group of people, not just the culture, but to all people. All people. We are all made equal in God's image. And the point of that is that we are all made equal in sin. There's a picture that we were born sinners because of Adam. Look, do you know that you were born a sinner, right? And here's the thing, it's not to say you were born a sinner, get better, and we'll sort you out. No. It's this understanding that if I get to the point where I realize that I'm born a sinner, it actually starts asking the right question in my life. Because now I need to ask, then how do I get out of being born a sinner? How do I get out of this life? How do I get to a place where my relationship with God can start and happen? You see, when you see little kids, anyone like have a younger brother or sister? You know, when you see little kids, you don't have to teach them how to be selfish. Have you ever noticed that? You always have to say thank you. You don't have to teach a kid to be like stubborn. They kind of do that on their own. They don't need no teaching for it. It's because of this, there's a sin human nature within us that kind of wants to come out. And so sometimes we think in Christianity, we have to do this thing of, let's change the behavior, let's be better people, let's try hard. And the problem with that is if you were born a sinner, that's what makes you a sinner. Paul, Psalm 51 just explains this. He says, behold, I was brought forth from iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. For I was born a... Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. And he says, I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since before I was born. And some of us think, no, Brent, you know, I'm not like that. You know, I've been a really good person my entire life. Romans 5:14, we just read it. Nevertheless, death reigned through Adam to Moses. And he says, even over those who did not sin, in the likeness of his transgression. He says, it even reigned over you, even though you say you did not sin. Hey, if you say you did not sin, you're already missing the point. You're sinning because you're saying you're like God. Hello? So sin is a part of our lives. It is a real reality. If you do not know Jesus, it's a real reality. But I'm not going to sit in and preach about sin tonight. I want to preach about what Jesus came to do. Because what he came to do set us free. And I want to take this being born concept. What does this mean? Well, I was born into the Pittaway bloodline. Anyone, right? Anyone else? Please don't put up your hand. That'll be awkward. Like lost long brother. It's you. But I was born into my father's bloodline. Why? Because he is my dad. Do you know that being born doesn't actually have an act that I do? Do you remember the day you were born, how hard you worked? Anyone? You did nothing, my friend. Your mother did everything. You go say thank you to her after the service. And in Hebrew, it actually explains this word, being born again, is actually a verb that is explained. And the verb in the Hebrew actually is not a verb that you do. It is a verb that is done towards you. So being born is not something you choose. You didn't choose to be here. You were born. Someone made the decision for you. Someone stepped in. He did the act for you. And that's why you were here. And here's a beautiful thing. I was born into my brother, my father's bloodline, and he's my dad. And I would ask you this question. If I sin today, is he still my father? Are you sure? Yes. Are you sure? No. I'm joking. You know that if I run away tomorrow, is he still my father? If I change my surname? Why? Because I am linked to him, not because of the things I do. I am linked to him purely because it's who I am. And when we think about what Jesus came to do, that's exactly the way that he came to do. Is you're not a sinner because you sinned. You're a sinner because you were born a sinner. And that concept is really important to understand, because if we realize that our sin is not something that is a reaction of what we do, the world says you are what you do, right? He's a good boy, so he did a good thing, so he's a good boy. Right, he's a successful, he did good in business, so he's a successful businessman. So we go down the line of all the different things. The things we do determines who we are, but here God comes and he explains this, Paul shows this picture. He says, guys, you are not what you do. It is who you are that determines what you do. And that's the problem, is that we have to understand that before Jesus, we are sinners. Our identity perceives our activity. Who we are determines what we do. If you are a runner, guess what you're going to do tomorrow morning? If you're a CrossFitter, what are you going to do? If you're a gamer, what are you going to do? If you're a Man United fan, you're going to lose. Like, there's so many different things. I'm just joking. If you're a vegan, you need deliverance. Like, all the different things. And I'm joking. But our identity determines what we do. You see, sin is sin. It's not the other way around. It's not sinning that makes you a sinner. It's being a sinner that makes you sin. So therefore, if God made you righteous through his blood, what do? You live righteously. It is from that new identity that God gives us. See, Jesus has this famous discussion with Nicodemus, right? And he has a discussion like on a roof. If you've ever watched The Chosen, it's in there. It's pretty legit. But he has this little discussion. If you haven't watched The Chosen, just read your Bible, just by the way. It's also like, it's in there as well. But he has this conversation with Nicodemus, and he says to him, he says, hey, Nicodemus, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, it's simple. You must be born again. And this man that was like so learned in the Bible, so smart, so like, you can see his brain clutches. He's like, and then he asks the question, must I climb back into my mother's womb? And Jesus was like, whoa, no, don't do that. He says, no, you must be born again of spirit and of water. And what is he saying here? He's saying, man, in order for you to enter the kingdom, you mustn't work hard, because remember, the things you do doesn't determine who you are. If you try and live righteously, you won't end up being righteous. I'm sorry. But it's when you come to this place where you realize I am righteous. That's what you start doing. You start living righteous. You must be born again. Why? Because this is the picture. Romans 6 shows it, that the wages of sin is death. It brings death. And when I say death, I'm not saying just one day when you die and you maybe go up or down or whatever you want to call it. I'm saying for your life right now. In the everyday, God has fullness of life for you. No longer a relationship that's like kind of half-hearted with God, but a relationship that is full in relationship. It's got a fullness it carries. in relationship with people, that it's not something that's broken, but something that's restored. Your purpose in life, not in trying figuring out what I must do for my life, but figuring out, God, what do you want to do with me? Asking bigger questions, looking at bigger answers that God has for us. But it starts with this challenge, with this understanding that I must be born again. But did you know this? In order to be born again, you need to die. Hello? You can't just be born from being born. In between, there's something that needs to happen there. Death has to kind of step in. And this is where Jesus came to show us this picture. His penalty he took upon himself, where he says, his death is actually my death as well. When he died, I died. That's the picture he shows on the cross. Why? So that, not that through acting righteous, we would be made righteous, but because of our righteousness that he's put inside us, we can live righteous. It gives us a new nature. I've been preaching so hard, my buttons come loose. Holy Spirit, activate. Verse 17 shows this, is that by one man's death, another man brought life. He says, if one man's trespass, death reigned through this one man, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign through the other man, Jesus Christ? He says, Paul's explaining this, and there's a lot of scriptures that are going to explain it. We're going to dive into it. But Paul explains this thing. He says, hey, guys, if Adam brought death into this world, if one man's act brought death into this world, therefore another man's righteous act must bring life. 1 + 1 = 2. Joke. 3, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. But it's that simple that he says that when you realize this thing that Adam, he brought what? Death for many. But Jesus says, I bring this gift of grace for many, an overflow for many. And Paul writes it again. He says, one man's trespass brought condemnation for everyone, but one man's righteous act brought justification. Condemnation, simple, you're sentenced to death with no chance of parole. Justification says, you've been sentenced, but I've paid the price. You can live free. You've been made right with me. He goes on to explain it again. One man's disobedience led to everyone being made sinners, but one man's obedience made everyone righteous. Not some people, not a little bit of people, everyone. All made righteous by him. You see, when we start understanding this being born again picture, there has to be a moment where we realize, I need to die to my old nature. I need to die the way Jesus died. I need to realize and please don't go crucify yourself. Please don't. Sorry, if it's lost in translation, my bad. But I need to realize that what Jesus did on the cross wasn't just Jesus saying that he died for us. It's realizing that Jesus died as us. Hello? Jesus didn't just die for us, he died as us. What does that mean? He took the sin of the world upon himself. He took your sin, the thing you did behind the closed doors, the things you've done with your boyfriend and girlfriend, the things you've done in this past life, the things you will still do one day. He's taken that, your entire sinful nature, he's put it upon himself, and he says, I will die as you. I've got you. And this sets a new tone. Because this means we are included in his death. Yes, but then I love how Galatians just says this. He says so clearly, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. Hello? This understanding is like, Jesus, if I believe in you, there's something I need to realize. I need to be born again, but I first need to realize this. I need to die to myself. I need to die to you. I need to take my life and repent, turn away from myself. Why? Because then I have this gift from you that I can be born again. You see, friends, when you were born again, you are no longer a sinner saved by grace. You can get that language out of your mouth. You are now a son and a daughter loved by a father. Your whole identity changes. Sin is no longer the thing that defines you, because sin is no longer your identity. The thing that defines you is that you're his son, that you're his daughter. And because of that, we live that way. It changes the way we live. And do you know what this does? It gives us a brand new confidence when we stand before God. A brand new confidence. I don't go to God with a prayer. When Jesus prays, he teaches us how to pray. And we pray it the wrong way around. We end at the end with what we end with. Yes, Lord, can you help me with this? A little bit of money, cash. is, Lord, you know, my friend punched me. Forgive him. I punched him as well. Forgive me. Everything. And then at the end we go, yo, Lord, you're our Father. And by the way, whatever your will is. But that's approaching God wrong. That's approaching God from a sinner's perspective. When we approach God, we look at him, we say, our Father. We look at him, we say, Dad, God, my dad. It puts us in a new position, a confidence before him. So maybe you're sitting here and you're asking the question, I hear all these good things, Brent, but why me? Maybe you've sat in church too many times and realized, why me? Why would God do this for me? I'm nothing. I don't add up to anything. You even said it yourself, I'm a sinner. Why would he choose me? Well, it's a very simple word. Is that he loves you. It's that simple. He loves you. And you know what? He's not a God that looks at you and says, I love you and doesn't prove it. He signs that check, that conversation, that letter, he signs it with his own blood. He says, I won't just tell you about it, but I'll prove it to you. Romans 5, 8, just before the piece of scripture we were reading. He says, but God proved his love, his own love to us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Guys, this is important. Not while we were trying to be good, God died for us. God didn't die for you because you were trying to be good. You didn't get saved because if that's the case, that you'd be saved on merit, then grace would be irrelevant. The cross would be irrelevant because you saved yourself through merit. Not just that, but that Jesus' grace, his sacrifice, sometimes we think it's his sacrifice and my little bit of works that'll get me into heaven. You've made the calculation wrong. It is only his sacrifice and believing in that that saves you. And it's from that place that we start living life. The works start overflowing. Christ died for this one thing, is that he loves you and he wants to be close to you. You know that sin's only power is to separate us from the presence of God. That's the only power it has over us. It's the ultimate power it has over us. And here God says, this gap has been filled. I've come and I've shortened the gap. I've made you close. Ephesians 5 says it, that Christ loved us and then he gave himself up for us. It's not he gave himself. He didn't do something out of an act and then he loved us. That was his, no, he said, I love you, therefore I will give my life. You see, identity perceives activity. Even God himself understands that. Jesus says, I am the great I am. He knows who he is. From that space, he serves and he loves. So I'm going to ask the band to join us. And I want to maybe make this just statement as they come onto the stage. Maybe today you've heard this for the first time, realizing this thing that, man, actually this thing inside of me is just a nature that is not from God. It is from my own human nature. It's from Adam. It's if you see Adam in heaven one day, just like sort him out, right? But it's from this nature inside of me and realizing that today I maybe need to die to myself. I need to actually look at Jesus' crucifixion and say, his death is my death. But thank the Lord, that's not where it ends, because his resurrection is also my resurrection. It is also mine to be a part of. You see, if you've heard this scripture or this piece of this word or the gospel like this for the first time today, I want to say you're the luckiest person in the room. I remember when I heard it. Set me free forever. And if you've heard it for the 10,000th time, I'm just saying to you today, this right here is the heart of everything. This isn't the milk of the gospel or of the Bible. This isn't the light stuff. This is the heavyweight. This is the steak with a piece of fat on with mushroom sauce over. Come on, preach it, preacher. Guys, everything we believe in falls on this, that Christ looks at you and he says, I love you. That he says to you, you were born a sinner, but guess what? Die with me and live with me because you will be made a son. You will be made a daughter. I've come to prove my love for you. I'm going to ask everyone to stand with me. See, if I identify with the death Jesus had, I today say that I'm dead to my old self. And if I identify and have faith that God himself raised Jesus from the dead, Today I've set our faith to have a new life. What does this mean? This means you're born into a brand new family. It means that you're born into love, therefore you start being loving. It means you are born into righteousness, therefore you start living righteous. It means that you are born into grace, therefore you live graceful. It means that you are born into truth, therefore you are set free. It means you are born into relationship, and today you're a son and a daughter. That will be the greatest thing ever in your life. Go achieve things, go do things in your life, they will mean nothing. This will mean everything. And today, I want to make the invitation. If today you look at me and say, Brent, I've been trying my own way. I've been doing that thing you said, you know, believing in Jesus and my good works, because I know that'll get me into heaven. Or maybe you've been saying that, you know, I've been showing God that I'm good, you know, it's been going bad, but I've spent some time on my own, got my life ready, and I'm ready to come to church and show God that I'm, you know, a good Christian. I want to say, please stop. Just stop. It's not going to save you. It's not going to give you life. You need to be born again by Jesus. Maybe you're sitting here today and saying, a friend invited me, I hate church. Yes, I remember that day. I hated church people. They were weird. Until I met Jesus and I realized why they're so weird. It's because they're filled with life. Not worried about the world, but worried about Him. So tonight, I want you to be bold with me. If tonight you say, I want to give my life to Jesus, I haven't taken this step, I haven't been born again, I want you to be bold in the room. Don't hide away. Just like Lazarus was called out of that grave, God's calling you out today. And I want you to raise your hand and say, Lord, here I am. Come, put it up high. Put it up high. For the world to see. For everyone to see. You can give them a hand. Keep it up. Keep up your hand. We're not done with you. Keep up your hand. This is what it looks like when God works, people. When he's showing His truth. I'm going to ask if there's leaders close by. If you see someone with their hand risen, please go stand next to them. Don't put down your hand. Keep your hand up. We want to pray with you. And why do we want to do that? Because you're welcome to the family. You're not alone. Don't stand alone. We're here with you. We want to stand next to you. We want to show you that we love you. And more than that, we want to show you the way God loves you. There's not a leader by someone. If you're standing close to someone with their hands up, why don't you just go stand next to them? There's still a bunch of ladies here in front. A few guys there. A few guys at the back. We want to make sure you're not alone. If you see someone standing next to you with their hand up, go towards them. Even if you're not a leader, it's cool. God can still use you, believe it or not. I want to pray with everyone. So if you want to pray with me, I think the one reason for it is that everyone that's praying this prayer for the first time, they don't feel alone. And for some of us that have prayed this prayer and given our lives to Christ, it is such a great reminder to us of what He came to do. Before I pray, just Revelation shows this. He speaks about this church that had their first love removed, or they missed their first love. And tonight God is saying, hey guys, let's not miss our first love. Let's focus on Him. So I want to ask everyone to pray with me. You guys can all close your eyes. God, you can pray with me. God, I admit that I'm not right with You, but I want to be right with You. I ask You to forgive my sins. As I know what Jesus has done on the cross is enough to save my life. Today, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. And today, I am saved by His work and not mine. Holy Spirit, guide me in this new relationship with God. God, today I am grateful that I'm your son or your daughter. And Jesus, thank you for saving me. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
What a message. If you feel that someone would benefit from this, share it with them. We are all about family on mission.